Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Host Pastor Al Davis, I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And certainly, depending on where you're at tonight, you're either complaining about the cold or complaining about the snow. I don't know that there's too many places listening to us tonight that are complaining about the warmth. I think some of our listeners down in Florida might be enjoying some nice weather during the day, but I guess it's been getting cool there in spots at night too. But I was talking to somebody yesterday whose wife was down in Houston, Texas, and they had temperatures down into the upper 30s there in Houston just the other day, and that's unbelievable. It wasn't really too cold coming into the station tonight. It was right about freezing, right about 32, 33, somewhere in that range, and not too bad at all, really, compared to what it's supposed to be here tomorrow night and the next night here in Northeast Ohio. We're going to probably see the single digits here. And I was looking at the weather maps in different places out west. They've been shivering. Snow has been coming down. I think we had about an inch, maybe inch and a half Saturday on our deck, or Friday night, I guess it was. And then my dad had probably a couple of inches, and he just lives maybe about a mile north of me. And then my sister, who lives a couple miles north of him, and she probably had close to 6 inches on her back porch. And it's just amazing. If you're familiar with Northeast Ohio and the lake effect snow showers, it can be pretty amazing sometimes where they come in and how one place has hardly anything, another place not too far away can have a foot of snow come down. But I guess tonight, if you're out on the roads, they do have a winter weather advisory. And they are expecting, at least across most of northeastern Ohio, 1 to 3 inches here tonight. And it's going to be a pretty general snow. And, of course, if you're further south, they get into some areas where you get into those that mix of snow and ice, or snow and freezing rain, that can get nasty. And I saw that the snow, I guess, is going all the way down through Cincinnati, all the way down into Kentucky, along the Ohio River, across the southern part of Indiana, stretching all the way down practically, I guess, into Missouri, and even a portion of it heading down into northern parts of Texas. So it's quite a massive system, and cold weather is building and heading this way. But I hope if you're home, you stay nice and warm. And if you're on the roads, just keep an eye on the conditions, and keep both hands on the wheel. Keep an eye on what's happening around you, and you should be okay in most places, I would think. But at any rate, I hope you'll still stay tuned to our program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder, if you have trouble getting the station on the air where you're listening at, you can always go onto our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more information about us, about the program, as well as past programs there at livewithpastoral.com. We have some MP3 files of past programs that you can download, you can listen to, and also there are links there to where you can listen live online. So I encourage you to do that if you're having some problems. Maybe sometimes when the weather gets bad, it makes it hard to get a clear signal. But anyway, we're going to open our program with a word of prayer this evening, and I hope you'll give us a call tonight. at 888-677-9673. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We pray for those that are traveling in some of these areas across Ohio and the Ohio Valley and down into Indiana and Kentucky and down into Missouri and Texas and places where there's snow coming down and freezing rain in spots. We just pray that you would watch over the people that are driving in those areas. Pray for our listeners tonight, that we could be a blessing, that we can be an encouragement to them. And I just pray you use the program for your glory. We can point people to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're glad to have you with us. Like I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got John in Cleveland calling right off the bat. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, kind of chilly.
Yeah, but not as bad as I expected, really. It was, I think it was colder last Friday when I was doing our Friday program here on the local station.
Well, just wait for a couple more days. It's supposed to get worse.
Oh, yeah. I think what we're getting right now here in Northeast Ohio is going to be about the warmest we'll see until the end of the week.
Right. I had a question about the account in Genesis.
All right.
Where Jesus appears to Abraham.
All right. Do you have a chapter offhand that you're looking at in particular?
No, I was just recalling it.
Are you thinking about one of the first times that he appeared? Because there's a couple times, I believe.
I guess he appears with two of the angels to Abraham.
Prior to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah?
No, in order to, I think it was in order for, to tell Abraham that he would have a son.
Let's see. I know in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham appearing, or I'm sorry, God appearing to Abram. It's before his name was changed to Abraham. And he has promised there that he would make a great nation out of him. Let's see. Then we move from there to, I think, the part that you're talking about. Then they have the instance with Hagar and, let's see, Ishmael. The son of Abraham by Hagar.
It's the account where he appears to Abraham when Abram is in his tent.
This would be Genesis chapter 18, I believe, and in Abraham chapter 18, starting verse 1, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." And we saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. Now, there would be two angels, and the other one is an appearance of God himself, angel of the Lord. So that might be one you're looking at.
Do you feel that that's a reference to Jesus?
Yeah, I believe so, because when we look at God, God is a Trinity. He's a three-part being in the sense that we're created in his image, remember? In Genesis 1, he said he would create man in his image, and we're a three-part being. We have a physical being, that's our body. We have a spiritual being, and then we have our soul, and you know, body, soul, and spirit. That's our three parts, and that's roughly analogous to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son being the equivalent of the physical presence of God, and the Holy Spirit, of course, would equate to the spiritual portion of our being, and then the soul, that part of you that's the will, the personality, the intellect, the emotion, that would correspond to God the Father. And there's a technical term, if you like, words for crossword puzzles or Scrabble. Theophany is what's a word that refers to the what they call the pre-incarnate appearances of God the Son, you know, where he appeared in the Old Testament prior to his incarnation as a babe in the womb of Mary.
So you don't believe he had a physical body there, that was not an incarnation?
God took on a physical body of a man to appear and talk with Abraham. And we see angels taking on physical bodies or physical presence. Some people would argue that angels do not have a physical form unless they take one on, you know, for their ministry here on earth. And it would appear that God took on various forms, because remember, he appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he also appeared to the nation of Israel in the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud, or pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. There's other ways in which he appeared to people in the Old Testament, and one of those ways is in a human form.
Well, do you feel that the human form or the physical body that he took on in front of Abraham was the same one that he had at, like, at the Last Supper?
No, because when God was incarnated in human flesh, and that's part of the mystery of Paul told Timothy that was the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And also in the Gospel of John, John writes that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What happened at that time, there was a unique creation where God used Mary as the vessel. And I believe that the egg from Mary was manipulated in order to produce the human embryo that grew within the womb of Mary, and that became the child that was born and grew up as the young boy Jesus and into the man Jesus. And so genetically, he had DNA through Mary that went back to his ancestor David. And of course, at this time in Genesis chapter 18, David had not yet been born. In fact, the Jewish race was not yet in existence, or the Jewish people, I should say, were not yet in existence, because God was still in the process of getting ready to bring the promised child to Abraham, which would be Isaac. And then Isaac, in turn, was going to have a son, Jacob. And then Jacob, in turn, was going to have 12 sons. And one of those sons, Judah, in turn, was going to have descendants, which would eventually include David, and then eventually Mary, and then Jesus. So,
well, I guess,
it wouldn't have been physically the same body.
I guess I'm wondering, if Jesus took on a physical body in the presence of Abraham, what happened to that body?
Well, I think it probably was just materialized for the time, or appeared for the time that God needed it.
Well, did it dissolve, or what happened?
Well, I guess if you want to say dissolved, and probably people might disagree with this, but in a sense, I think the body that he had, God brought it into being for the purpose of using a body to speak with Abraham, and then after that, there was no need for it, and in a sense, it would have just ceased to exist, I guess you could say. As opposed to the body itself being in heaven for all, eternity.
Well, I was going to ask you, I know we were talking a couple months ago about the tripartite aspect of
right.
humans. When Jesus was in the tomb, the fact that he was dead, the fact that his physical body wasn't alive, he wouldn't have been tripartite, would he?
Well, and part of that is the mystery of godliness, how that God could animate that body could physically die, and the presence of God, in a sense, being removed from that body, because the Bible tells us that he descended down into the lower parts of the earth. Remember, he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," and then the Bible...
It wouldn't have been in a physical body, though, would it?
No, he would have been in paradise in more of a spiritual sense, I would imagine, it would have been his essence. He would have probably had the form of a man that would have been recognizable, maybe not in a material body. And we don't understand all of what they look at, because some people would argue that we have a temporary physical body until the day of the resurrection, and then others would argue that we have an immaterial body of a sort until the resurrection, when our physical body is resurrected and changed into an incorruptible immortal body. And so I tend to lean to the side that I think that we have more of an incorporeal, an immaterial body that that has you know, a form to it, some maybe sort of substance to it, but it's not the body that we're going to spend eternity in, because that clearly is the resurrected body, like the body of the resurrected Christ. I guess you could say that if you could have went into the tomb the day after Jesus was sealed in the tomb, you would have found a body there. But it's very clear that the body was here visible after Jesus died on the cross, because they took him off from the cross lifeless and they put his lifeless body into the tomb. But Jesus had gone down, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And it also talks about him leading captivity captive. So, you know, he was doing something while the body was laying in the tomb.
Oh, I was going to ask you, when he did that, the flesh was still laying in the tomb, though, right?
I would believe so, because the Bible clearly says that he gave up the ghost, that he died. And so the life force of God that animated that physical flesh and blood that hung on the cross departed from it, and the body itself died and was dead. And fundamentally, death is a separation. Spiritual death is to be is separation from God. Physical death is when your soul and spirit are separated from your body. And so if you could imagine the life force, the animating force of God being removed from the body was lifeless now. And then when it was time for the resurrection, the life force of God re-entered the body, reanimated the body, and the body emerged from the tomb. By the way, prior to the stone being removed, the body exited the tomb, and later on the stone was rolled away to show that the tomb was already empty. The resurrection had taken place. And now Jesus, in a physical body, as a man, the man Christ Jesus, is in heaven. So when we get to heaven now, we will see Jesus in a body. We will see a physical manifestation of God in a human body. And we will be like him in the resurrection, the Bible says.
But would that human body have a beating heart?
Well, you're talking about in the eternal state?
Yeah, after he was raised from the dead, did he have a beating heart?
I would imagine so, if the body is going to operate much in the same way. Although I've you know, some people have said, well, he described the body before the resurrection as a body of flesh and blood, and the body after the resurrection as a body of flesh and bone. Some people have suggested that we won't have the blood, and hence we wouldn't have the need for a beating heart in a resurrected body, and well, that's one of those things we'll find out when we get to heaven.
I know Luke says that after he was resurrected that he ate a portion of fish.
Yeah, he ate some fish and some honeycomb.
And in order to do that, you have to have a digestive tract, wouldn't you?
Well, one would assume so, and it does appear that there will be food in heaven, at least on occasion, because in Revelation 19 is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and suppers usually include some sort of food. Every supper I've been to has had some sort of food. So,
Christ, after his resurrection and ascension, became tripartite again?
Well, I don't think God ever ceased to be tripartite, because it's his unique nature. Because you have to remember, God exists. He doesn't exist within the universe. Now, let me say this carefully. The universe exists within God. And, you know, a lot of times we think that the universe contains God, but the universe is actually contained within God. And so God manifests himself within the universe that he created. And since the universe is a physical universe, he has to manifest himself in a physical form inside of that physical universe generally in order to interact with it. And there's times where he's interacted without the physical manifestation, but in order to be crucified and to shed his blood on the cross to purchase our salvation, he had to have a physical presence. And yet at the same time, he was always in touch with the Father and the Spirit, because those three are one. They're not three separate gods in a committee. They're one God manifested, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just like you're one person, but you're talking to me on the phone. I don't see your body. You're on the phone. I'm in a radio studio. You don't see my physical presence as if I was on TV, but I know you're somebody who's talking to me because you're being animated. Your soul is, framing questions for your body to speak. And in my soul, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm framing questions and responses for my body to speak. So we're interacting in the physical realm by the use of these physical bodies.
So you feel that physicality is an actual necessity then?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow what you said.
So you're saying that physicality is an actual necessity?
For the manifestation of God in the flesh to take place, yes, absolutely. Because if God was not manifest in the flesh, then we would have no Savior, we would have no blood atonement, we would have no salvation. And that's why God had to do that.
My question is not that he came in the flesh, but does he still reside in the flesh?
Yes, he does. In the person of Jesus Christ in heaven, God is in the flesh. And when he returns, the Bible says that every eye will see him, meaning a physical body that will return. Revelation chapter 19, when he returns, people see him returning in the flesh. And people will be able you could go up and shake his hand. You would feel the nail prints in his hand. Actually see him in the flesh.
Will they see him the way that the apostles did, or the way that Abraham did?
They will see him the way he appeared in the resurrection.
Was that the same way that he appeared to Abraham?
Well, as I said before, Jesus in the incarnation would have appeared a bit different than he did to Abraham because of taking on human form and the line of DNA that goes back to David. So he would have had that physical appearance. But that's probably about as close as I can get to your question, I guess, tonight. But it's an interesting thing. People do think about these things. And I appreciate the call tonight, John.
Okay, well, you have a good night.
All right, well, you stay safe if you got to drive around out in this mess out there. So, all right, have a good night. Thank you for the call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight, and we'd be glad to take your question. And I will forewarn you that we do have a short break coming up here in just a minute or two. And if need be, we can certainly hold you over the break. I think we got, about a minute or so left, 2 minutes. I think we can get started at least. And the phone number again, 888-677-9673. And we've got Jeremiah also in Cleveland coming in tonight. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I can't wait to shake Jesus' hand.
Well, you know, it's going to be amazing because people have said, what are the only man-made things that we'll see in heaven? What do you think?
I agree with you.
The only man-made things we'll see in heaven would be the nail prints in his hand and feet, the print of the spear in his side, the marks of the crown of thorns on his head, the scars from the whip, you know, where he was whipped on his back. Those are the only man-made things we'll see in heaven. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
And when you shake his hand, you'll be reminded of what he did in order to to procure your salvation. And that's exciting. But anyway, what you got a question for us tonight, Jeremiah?
Yeah, what are the basic principles of trying to suit yourself up for protection from the wiles of the devil.
All right. Okay. Let's see here. And if we get into the break here, we'll hold you over. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's take a stab at that. In order to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil, certainly prayer. Let me go over to Ephesians chapter 6. There's the armor of God that many people are familiar with in Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we have that verse that you referred to there, actually verse 11, where it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he reminds us in the next verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So one of the things that we have to do to stand against the wiles of the devil is realize that we're in a spiritual battle. A lot of people don't even realize they're in a spiritual battle, and they take shots and everything, and they don't even know what's firing at them. And so that's one thing. And then he says, here's the armor. And he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And we're going to have to hold this until the second half. So stay tuned, and we'll get into the armor of God in the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. Our toll-free lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder, you can always listen to us or find out more about us or listen to past programs at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And that's livewithpastoral.com. Links to our Facebook page and some other information there. You can also find some links to the radio stations that we're on, and you can listen on the internet if you have a problem with the on-air broadcast sometime. But I also wanted to mention that we're brought to you, of course, by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. They've got calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. And if you call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're out of the area and not able to get into East Coast Pizza, but maybe you thought about getting into the pizza business yourself or perhaps adding pizza to your line in an existing restaurant or something, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask Gus how he can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And let me tell you, it's good pizza. Just had some Thursday, and it's quite good. So if you're outside the Cleveland area, you're ever in Cleveland, Ohio, you'll have to stop in at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here, and just remind you, too, if you check out our website, Live with Pastor Al, and you can find a link to our Facebook page, like us on Facebook, and try to get some things on those websites and Facebook pages that hopefully be a blessing and an encouragement to you. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word right now, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And we were talking with Jeremiah before the break, and we were talking about resisting the devil, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Jeremiah is asking how we can do that. So, Jeremiah, still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, we're going to pick up with that. We were talking about putting on the armor of God is how we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And before I continue with the armor of God, let me give you another passage real quick before I forget about it, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And this is in reference to a number of people who are martyred for the cause of Christ during the future tribulation period. And it says in Revelation 12, 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And they're talking about overcoming the devil and what the devil was doing by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they realize, like Jude tells us, that the Michael the archangel said that we need to withstand the devil not in our own strength but in God's strength, because Michael the archangel was contending with the devil over Moses' body, and he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." He didn't say he was rebuking him. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So we have to remember that in order to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, we need God with us. And the only way that's going to happen is if you trust Christ as your Savior and you have Jesus Christ living in you, and then you have the promise of the Bible that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And as a believer, we can take the armor of God that Paul writes about here in Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse number 13, we'll pick up there again. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And And then from there, it talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so we can see prayer added to that. And if you'll notice the armor that's described here, there's something for your feet, something for the loins, something for the the head, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. And as we look at that, then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible describes the Word of God as sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you'll notice in that description of the armor of God, there's an area that's not covered. That's your back. And the reason your back is not covered is because we're supposed to be backed up against Christ. And in a sense, he's got our back covered. And we forget that sometimes. And we're also not supposed to turn and run in fear, because if you turn and run in fear, your back is exposed. But instead, if you keep your back toward Christ and the armor of God towards the devil, you're better equipped to resist him and stand against the wiles of the devil. And since he knows that that when you turn away and you turn your back to him, and you allow fear to get a hold of you, he knows that he can sink one of the fiery darts into your back and take advantage of you. So that's why we're supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil. We stand with our back towards Jesus Christ, who protects us, and he's our rock, he's our salvation. And if we know Christ as our Savior, we certainly have the helmet of salvation, and we have the shield of faith. And if you think about it, the sword is the Word of God. The sword is both defensive and offensive. Remember Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and the devil tempted him in various ways, and each time that he was tempted, he turned back the temptations of the devil by quoting scripture to the devil.
So basically, the answer to my question is all in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18.
Right, and really it goes on even further because in 19, if you look, verse 18 is the beginning of a sentence where it says praying with all, or always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And it goes on, that verse ends with a semicolon. He says, not only should we be praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then there's a comma, we go into verse 20, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What you can see there is, in addition to praying for ourselves, we're praying for each other, and praying especially for those believers that are in the fight. You know, our nation is embroiled in the war against terror, against Islamic terrorists. They just executed a young man over there, an American, it was released this morning. Well, our troops are in harm's way, and they could not be there if it weren't for the people supporting them. We just celebrated Veterans Day last week, and those troops could not be there without the numbers of people in a support function. And not every believer is in a real visible position. Let's take your local church, for instance. Your pastor is in a very visible position in the local church. But for people who are in church today, if you were in church and the temperature was nice and warm, or if you're fortunate, you're in a part of the country where the temperatures outside were nice and warm and you need the air conditioning on, then I guess we could say the temperature was nice and cool, and the floors were clean, and the songbooks were out, and the lights were on, and all of that stuff was necessary so that your pastor could come in and be able to preach to the congregation without the congregation shivering in the cold or melting in the heat. The lights on because the electric bill's been paid and everything, so they could see and read in their Bible while they're in the service. And, all these things that come together, Sunday morning doesn't just happen. There's a lot of things that come together, people in the church that make it possible for the church to function, and then the work that the pastor does himself and all to get ready so that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, he can deliver a message and hopefully encourage and exhort God's people. And so we should pray for those people because of that position that they're in. It's a visible position. And certainly in a military situation, if you're visible, the enemy's going to shoot at you. And since your pastor is a visible person, the enemy's going to shoot at him. And so we need to pray for pastors. We need to pray for our missionaries, our evangelists, people who are in what we call full-time Christian work, though really every single person that's saved in the church ought to be in full-time Christian work in one way or another. Some are just recognized for it more than others. But I hope that helps out a little bit there, Jeremiah.
Yeah, thank you for answering my question.
Well, hey, you had a really good question here tonight, so I appreciate
that. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, well, you're welcome to call back. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight and want to make something make note of something here this evening as well. If you live in the state of Ohio, be in prayer coming up. On Tuesday, I believe it is, on Tuesday at 10 a.m. in Columbus, Ohio, the state capital, they're going to have a hearing on a proposal. It's called American Laws for American Courts. A number of states have passed this successfully. It's been challenged, I believe, in some states, and they've got some language that has survived legal challenges. And I believe it's the Judicial Committee that's going to be hearing this at the Ohio State Capitol on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, American Laws for American Courts. And basically, it's just what it sounds like. In American courts, we should only use American laws. And that makes sense. There was a Supreme Court justice a few years ago, I think it was Justice Ginsburg, who said that we should go beyond American laws and beyond the Constitution of the United States, and look to other nations' laws and constitutions in order to make rulings in our courts. And that goes against the very core of our constitutional republic. It goes against, attacks the very core of it. And the truth of the matter was, what she was getting at, and there's people who agree with her, is that if you cannot find justification in America's laws, and in the Constitution of the United States of America, you look around at the other countries until you find something you like. And, of course, you ignore the things that you don't like. Let me give you a for instance. Here's a for instance. There's a lot of countries in the world where abortion is illegal. And I believe at the time they were talking about this, they were talking about abortion and trying to find laws that would strengthen abortion in this country, and they were trying to use other laws from other countries to try and strengthen that. Why did they ignore all the laws in other countries where abortion was flat out illegal? Here's another one. They'd like to try and find the right for same-sex marriages to occur in the United States. And the courts are divided on this. It's going to wind up in the Supreme Court. And certainly they should not be looking at the laws of other countries, because who determines what countries you're going to look at? I don't think that when it comes to something along the lines of same-sex marriage, they're going to look to Saudi Arabia, where homosexuality is a capital offense. You can be executed for being found guilty of homosexual behavior in Saudi Arabia. So I don't think they're going to look to Saudi Arabia. In other words, it just allows them to pick and choose so that they can ignore the laws that were passed inside the United States of America, and so that they can ignore the Constitution of the United States of America, because a lot of people who don't like our laws and don't like our Constitution. But, you know, like I said, we had Veterans Day last week, and there's a lot of people listening who are veterans, took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And, you know, that oath didn't end when you were when we were honorably discharged from the United States military. General consensus is that that oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, continues on. And so we need to keep that in mind, and we need to pray for our country. Talking about homosexual special rights and things of that nature, let me go over here to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. We had a question a few weeks ago posed about the rapture, and we've touched a little bit on it since then, and trying to look at a couple things here tonight, and we've talked a little bit about the rapture. And what we mean by the rapture is the catching away of the believers. And there's reason to believe that this will take place, that the believers will be caught away into heaven. The Bible says in First Thessalonians chapter 4 and First Corinthians chapter 15, talks about this body being changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye, from a corruptible body into an incorruptible, from a mortal body into an immortal, and it'll be a body like that of the resurrected Christ. And a lot of that you can find in 1 Corinthians 15 in the second half of the chapter, and then in the second half of the chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you'll find more on the catching away of the believers, is what we call the rapture. We call that the rapture, I should say. And that's where we'd be caught up in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And this is an event that I believe takes place prior to the tribulation. And there's a variety of reasons for that. One of them is that the Bible says that when the rapture takes place, no man's going to know the day or the hour. And if it was going to take place at the end of the tribulation, we would be able to calculate at least the day for sure, and some things of that nature. But let me show you something in Luke chapter 17, which I believe indicates for us in two ways that the rapture will take place prior to the tribulation. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is teaching here, and he says this. He's talking about the Lord when he returns, and before he returns, he says, "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation," which, of course, he was going to. He was going to be crucified. And then it says in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah," and that's in the New Testament, that's referring to Noah in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, "so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." Now notice what he describes about the days of Noah. He says, "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Then he says in verse 28, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And we remember that the return of Christ is in two phases. There's the private phase that's not as noticed as the public phase where every eye sees. Much like in his first coming, remember he said he'd return in the way that he came. And his first coming, remember he was a babe laid in the manger in Bethlehem, and not a whole lot of people knew. But when he entered into his earthly ministry, the whole world took note of him. And so when we see this here in the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, the world will have been wrecked with incredible judgments from God. Large numbers of people will have died in wars and battles, and there'll be times where we see stars falling to the earth. That would be meteors coming down. There's wormwood that's cast on the earth, and that sounds suspiciously like a comet impacting the earth. And there's all kinds of things, great earthquakes that shake every mountain and every island in the world. The earth itself shaken from these great earthquakes. And we know that big earthquakes do affect the earth, cause a change in the tilt of the earth, maybe ever so slightly, as well as a change in the rotation of the earth. It shakes the entire world, and these will be earthquakes such as the world has never seen before. And you'll see right before the second coming of Christ, you're going to see the nations of the world gathered outside of Jerusalem for the Battle of Armageddon. And it'll be a war in conditions so bad that the Bible says that if the time was any longer than what it was, except God shortened those days, there'd be no life left. And now ask yourself, in times like that, where there's great earthquakes shaking the earth, meteors striking the earth, one or more comets striking the earth, the world on the verge of nuclear annihilation, pestilence, disease, and starvation on a mass scale, unrest all over the world. Let me ask you this. Do you think people are going to be conducting life as normal? Remember here in Luke 17, it said they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. See, we see the picture here that life continues on. Noah preached and he told them that God was going to judge the world. Yet life went on just as it had before. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that God said, Noah, you and your family go into the ark. He shut the door and the rains came and the fountains of the deep opened up and the flood occurred and destroyed the entire world. Now, here's another characteristic of the days of Noah: lawlessness and immorality and rejection of God. Here's a phrase for you. I don't have time to get into it tonight. Transhumanism. And I think if you look at the sons of God and the daughters of men marrying it and giants in the earth as a result of that, I think there was some tinkering going on. The devil was trying to create monstrous hybrids out of human beings, trying to destroy the purity of the human race so that the Messiah could not come. And we see some of that stuff starting to happen today. Look, Google transhumanism. Sometime we'll get into that. Somebody sent me a book about it. I've been wanting to talk about it every once in a while on the air. We just haven't got to it. But let's move to Noah, or to Lot. And here's with Lot. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. This stuff is not going to be going on at the end of the tribulation. This is life as usual. And the other thing with the days of Lot, rampant homosexuality, open homosexuality. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah were known for. And life continued until the day that God removed Lot from the city and the judgment came. And that's what it's going to be leading up to the rapture. Life will continue. People eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, buying, selling, planting, life as usual until the day that God says to his people, come up, and he will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then after that, judgment comes on the earth, the judgment that takes place during the tribulation period. Hey, we're out of time. You can escape that judgment by trusting Christ as your Savior today. If we can be of help, contact us. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.